Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. I am logging on to talk about a frustrating game. And I was trying to figure out, like, why was that game so frustrating? And like, really, if you really boil down, like, that game, we shouldn't be all that surprised that the Lakers lost to a team that has been one of the best teams in the conference and in the NBA, especially since their slow start. They struggled offensively against, I think, the league's best defense heading into tonight's game. Paul George has played an NBA or an MVP caliber season so far, and he proceeded to torch a Lakers team that lacked one of the best players in the history of the game at that position. I could keep on going down the line here for reasons why we shouldn't be all that surprised or annoyed even that the Lakers lost. But what it kind of comes down to for me is it's becoming predictable at this point. You know that if the Lakers, without LeBron, are heading into a close fourth quarter against a team that is as good or better than they are, it's probably not going to end well. And, you might point to the Sacramento Kings game and you might say, oh, well, they figured it out there. But that's the Sacramento Kings. You really want to put yourself on the Sacramento Kings level this year? Heading into this year, if I would have told you, hey, the Lakers are going to be as good as the Sacramento Kings, would you have been thrilled with that assessment of the situation? Probably not, right? So the Lakers are probably a better team than that squad, even with everything going on, and took care of business. And to their credit, they took care of business in a really fun way. But against Oklahoma City and against these teams that the Lakers are going to face heading into the playoffs, like, you need to at some point show some kind of development in these situations. And they frankly are not. And I've defended Luke quite a bit, but this is where it's just getting kind of old, man. Like, what offense or what's the goal heading into any given offensive possession when the game slows down to the haul that it does in fourth quarters? And we're not quite seeing it. We aren't not even not quite seeing it. We aren't seeing it at all, any type of growth here. So that'll be part of what we talk about today. I want to talk about Luke sitting Lonzo down the stretch, the free throws. We'll talk a little bit about that. And because the Lakers lost a nationally televised game, we had some takes about the Lakers from people who watch the team, once or twice a month, that I'm trying not to get too frustrated about. But here we are. Let's start, though, with the free throws. It's going to be a shorter show because I'm just kind of talking to myself here. And because, frankly, we don't want to hear us. You guys don't want to listen to me whine and moan about the Lakers for a half hour. So we'll get you guys in and out of this one. And we'll go from there. But regarding the free throws, and specifically with Lonzo. So, like, if Luke Walton was asked, and I didn't see that he was, why Lonzo didn't play down the stretch of the game, and he mentioned free throw shooting as a problem, I think that would be perfectly fine. I think I would listen to that. And the thing that concerns me about Lonzo's free throw shooting, it goes beyond merely the rate at which he's making or missing them. It's that he lets it affect what he does for the rest of the game, and that trickle-down effect. Look, the Lakers, especially with LeBron out, and now it seems with Kyle Kuzma out, are going to need anybody on the court has to be willing to be a scorer, or at least a scoring threat. And if Lonzo is allowing his free throw shooting to get in the way of him doing that, then then he probably shouldn't be out there. And while, you know, the counter to that is, well, the other guy who was out there was Lance Stephenson, who wasn't particularly good in last night's game and doesn't offer very much at all in the form of defense. Then you say, like, okay, you have the guy out there, you have Lonzo out there, and you at least see if he can grow, right? But, you know, if Luke is noticing that Lonzo is allowing his free throw shooting to get in the way of what's best for the team, then one, he might be punishing Lonzo and putting him on the bench and saying, no, if this is the only way that I can teach you, that's what I'm going to do. Or if he's saying, look, we need to win some of these games, the Lakers as it is. Might have either I think they fell into a tie with the San Antonio Spurs for either the last playoff spot or the first spot out of the playoffs. And so, you know, that's where the Lakers currently find themselves. I'm going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Lakers' free throw shootings across the roster and how frustrating this billionaire, multi-billion dollar franchise treats its or uses its money and its resources. So we'll get to that here in a bit. All right, let's. I'm trying not to say too much here because I don't want to get myself into trouble. But as I understand it, the Lakers currently do not employ a shooting coach. Luke Walton says that they are now going to have a sign-up sheet for the free throws that they need to be shooting on a daily basis. But to me, it's insane that like the entire purpose of being as successful as the Lakers are financially and business-wise and brand-wise is to be able to flex that muscle over your competition by hiring over the best at everything. And it just it seems very apparent that the Lakers don't do that. And that's not just a this year trend either. They have always gone with more of the Laker family hire, and they think in very insular fashion. And what they've done is you risk potentially insulating yourself from the best way to go about building an organization. And now in some cases it might not matter anyway, right? In some cases, and for example, with the Lakers scouting department for heading into every draft, the Lakers have figured it out anyway, despite themselves. But in other situations, you preclude yourself from making the better hire and finding the best people for each position. And in this case, not having anybody for the position of shooting coach. Like, that's insane to me. That's just, I don't get it. It's nuts. So I use the example right now, and as things are currently standing, the Dodgers have this multi-billion dollar TV deal that stops their fans from being able to watch their games and are still not spending in new money, right? They inherited a bunch of money, but they aren't spending in new money as it stands right now, right? They even moved useful players in Yasiel Puig and Alex Wood, and to a lesser extent, Matt Kemp, in order to save money. And they're doing that in an uncapped sport. The Lakers, as it pertains to coaching hires and analytics departments and team medical staffs, that's an uncapped sport that the Lakers are working in there. There is no cap. There is no salary cap on coaching hires, on analytics departments, on like that. That is where the Lakers can flex their muscle over every other team in the NBA and have the best at in every department, but don't. And this has been a trend for a long time because of their inclination towards hiring Lakers people under any and all circumstances. I mean, the Lakers suck at the free throw line, but thank God they have Kurt Rambis out there for God knows what reason, right? And this is where they this is the organization that you find yourself rooting for, or in my case, analyzing. So that's the larger point of the concern with the free throws isn't just their free throw shooting. It's what it says about the rest of their organization. All right, let's move on over from free throws and stuff to, I wanted to talk about Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball and now Josh Hart and Kyle Kuzma and this young core that the Lakers have put together. And I want to respond to, because it comes up after every time the Lakers lose, after every Lakers loss, it comes up in my mentions and in Silver Screen and Rolls mentions, even Locked On Lakers mentions. It comes up in all these conversations. All right, when are the Lakers just going to trade for Anthony Davis? They cannot make that trade until Anthony Davis is made available. And to this point right now, we know, because it hasn't been reported, and it's the story of the year. So the fact that it hasn't been reported tells me Anthony Davis has yet to be made available in any kind of trade whatsoever. That's just stating objective fact based on a lack of reporting. Until that happens, the Lakers can't make that deal. When it happens, they are still going to have to go through all of the hoops to be able to make that trade and pull that trade off. And I can point at other examples of situations where teams didn't want to either trade their guy to the preferred destination, right? Like Kyrie Irving didn't have the Boston Celtics on his list. Jimmy Butler didn't have the Philadelphia 76ers on his initial list. Kawhi Leonard didn't have the Toronto Raptors on his initial list. Paul George didn't have the Oklahoma City on his list, right? Like, this is a trend. This is not some blip on the radar here. In this era of pre-agency where superstars are forcing they're trying to force their ways either to specific destinations and at the very least out of their current situation, we have yet to see a star successfully force themselves to the city that they prefer. And what that kind of tells me is these owners, who I'm sure are affected in a very human manner, are saying, no, you're already reneging on a contract by forcing your way out while you're under contract. But on top of that, I'm supposed to send you to a city that you prefer and make some other city, in this case, the Lakers of all teams and organizations, we're going to make them better just so that you can have what you've wanted in preferred destinations. And they're saying no, they aren't going to do that. And I don't know when that trend ends, right? Like, the way I usually use trends or study trends is it's a trend until we see a change in behavior. And we haven't seen that change in behavior yet. And therefore, it makes me think that even if and when Anthony Davis becomes made available, I wouldn't bet on the Lakers being able to trade for him, because they'll probably have to pay more than any other team that gets involved in these trade negotiations. So that's where I'll start this conversation, and we'll pick up this and a few other things on our way out of the show. All right, so let's get back to, and we'll bring this full circle here. Not really full circle, but the one difference, and Pete and I talked about this the other day. The one difference here is the clutch factor with a K, the clutch factor and agency between between Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And that allows the Lakers to have conversations with Anthony Davis, with Rich Paul, with whomever, that they wouldn't be able to have otherwise if it was like a more typical agent situation. It's why the NBA and executives around the NBA are already trying to ruffle feathers in the league office to try to make something make them at least aware of their nerves in regards to that relationship. So that is a difference in situation that is worth noting. But again, at the end of the day, it comes down to some stubborn billionaire not wanting to make a player who wronged him happy. and we'll see how those things are weighed out. So there's that. The other thing too is like, all right, so if we're just to go off of Lakers Twitter and NBA Twitter and yours and my opinion on the Lakers young core, and it's as volatile as it is, like just on Sunday we were saying, see, that's the Brandon Ingram that we've been wanting all this time. He's getting it. He's understanding it. And then you look at this fourth quarter where Patrick Patterson pretty much put a wrap on him. And you say, well, all right, well, what's his trade value now, right? And so for a team that wants to trade for Brandon Ingram, they're going to use that as evidence and leverage so as to ask for more beyond Brandon Ingram. And the Lakers are probably saying to themselves, well, we have to keep as many assets as possible to hopefully continue to build a team around whichever second star that they're able to land to go alongside LeBron James, right? And so it's just the entire – there are so many variables in this entire situation that I just find it hard to even know where to start to talk about any of it, right? I'm obviously talking about it now because it's something that you guys are obviously interested in. But it's just – it's a tough conversation to have given how little we know right now and how little we're probably going to know for the foreseeable future. The New Orleans Pelicans aren't going to make Anthony Davis available in a trade before he absolutely passes up on signing that Supermax contract. That's just how that's going to go. And then the other added incentive for them to wait is so that they can make a trade with – so that Boston, one of the teams that can rival the Lakers package, trade package, is able to get involved and up that price as well, right? And the bidding war is something that the Pelicans are really going to rely on to make sure that they get enough in return for – probably the best player that they're ever going to have. So yeah, it's going to take a little while, and because of that, and I'm not in usually the business of telling fans how to be fans. I don't really like doing that. I'll do it on occasions every so often if I find something really kind of gross. But beyond that, I won't get into that all that much. And in this case, though, I will say that it just seems to make more sense to analyze the team that the Lakers have right now. And to build off of that point, one of the things that I'm legitimately concerned about is that the Lakers are going to be forced to make some of these moves before they know even what they really have. Like, so far this season, Rajon Rondo is on track to miss half of the NBA season's games, right? LeBron James is on track to miss probably around, I don't know, 8 to 10 games as well. So he's going to miss about an eighth of the season as well. Brandon Ingram already missed time earlier this year. The Lakers started the season without an NBA-caliber backup center, and their season changed significantly when Tyson Chandler came over. But now that JaVale McGee went down and missed all that time, you're kind of starting to see some of that wear and tear on Chandler himself too. And so where we're finding ourselves is like, under what circumstance would we know for a fact right now how good a coach Luke Walton is. There's no way to know that, right? I mean, there are some concerns. There are some things he's good at, but we don't know for a fact right now. And if the Lakers fire him, they'd be doing so without a fully informed foundational amount of evidence to either way on that conversation. If the Lakers go out and trade Brandon Ingram right now, what, he's played, 25 games alongside LeBron James? I'd be nervous that they made that trade a little early. It depends on what they get back for him. I don't think there's any scenario where you regret trading Brandon Ingram for Anthony Davis. But I'd be a little nervous if he was included in like a Bradley Beal trade. I'd be a little nervous. I'd be nervous if Lonzo Ball was included in any similar trade, right? And it's because, again, we got to see for a little bit Lonzo and LeBron start to form some chemistry on the court, but that was ended as soon as LeBron strained his groin, right? We seem to think, at least conceptually, that Josh Hart seems to make a lot of sense alongside LeBron James, or Kyle Kuzma also seems to make a lot of sense alongside LeBron James. But doesn't that just give other teams more incentive to try to pry them away in the hopes of at least making the Lakers there? You still have to compete directly with these teams, right? After you send them whichever superstar you're going to, isn't there incentive to also try to make the Lakers as bad as possible as a result of this trade? So if one of the things that we seem to know is that at least conceptually Josh Hart and Kyle Kuzma seem to make sense alongside LeBron James, well, then that's just that they're going to have to be included in the trade too. That's just at least a part of the negotiation. And so what it comes down to for me is take these things day by day. The process is half the fun, right? Like the process of, I mean, hell, I'm married. I've been with my first girlfriend turned fiance, now wife. We've been together for going on 15 years. The process of how we got here it has been as fun as anything. And in those moments where we can look back on our lives and we can look at our lives right now and say, wow, our lives are pretty cool right now. We can, you look back on that process and you notice how far you came. And so if all you're focused on right now is on whatever moves the Lakers should or could make next, then you're missing out on how we get there if the Lakers are able to somehow win a title alongside or with LeBron James involved, right? So that's my mini rant on that topic. It just seems more fun to talk about and try to analyze the guys that the Lakers currently have, especially when it took like legitimate investment for us to get here, right? We had to trudge through 5 years of awful basketball to be able to get to even where we are right now. And so why not try to see any development that we can see from Brandon Ingram? Why not try to do the same thing with Lonzo Ball? It just seems to me to be the more fun thing, the more fun way to take in a professional sport that really you and I or anybody that you might talk to, we can't impact what's happening. So why not enjoy it whenever we possibly can? That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Lakers lose a tough one to Paul George, who played really well in his Staples Center. What do we want to call it? Like a quasi return to Staples Center? Whatever. I enjoyed you guys booing Paul George. I'll say that on the record. I just think it's, again, one of the few ways you feel like you can impact a game. And it did make him awkward. It opened up his game not in the way that I think he wanted it to go, and he wound up turning things around. But yeah, we'll talk to Pete tomorrow. And we will send you guys off into the weekend in as positive a way as we possibly can. For right now, though, I'm Anthony Irwin signing off and telling you, make somebody's day.